A couple of hours later, after we had covered the windows and tried to sleep, the place began to hum and rumble, and there came a jerk that made half of our stuff fall to the floor. Ganelle and I unzipped the legs of our suit sacks and ran out to the catwalk and looked down to see rimes of ice exploding into sparkling clouds as they were crushed by imperceptible shifting of the tread segments. We scurried to the end of the catwalk, where a stair led down to near snow level, and jumped off, got the three-wheeler started, and buzzed back to the flatbed. Explosive bangs resonated up and down the train as the locomotive budged forward and began to draw up slack. A couple of the flatbed's boarding ramps were dragging on the ice so that the last-minute loading could proceed. It would be half an hour before the train was really moving. We blasted up one of these, veered around a drummin that was back and forthing into a tight slot, and found our way to Ganelle's fetch. We ran the three-wheeler up the plank ramps and stowed the planks under the fetch. Then we spent a while draining the coolants from all three vehicles' engines and storing it in poly jugs. By the time we were finished, the train was moving faster than we could walk in snowshoes, so we made our way forward along the system of catwalks that skirted the sledges and linked them together. Cord and Yule had pulled up the window coverings to let the sun in and were cooking a big celebratory breakfast. We were on our way to the North Pole. I was glad of that. But when I thought of Fra Jesri in orbit, I couldn't have felt more in the wrong place.